These are the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price. I know.
I've seen it before. It happens all the time. You're closing the door. Hello, folks. Karen J. Byrne here, your founder, publisher, and potentate of pigskin at coldhardfootballfacts.com. Excited to be here again, week two of the Cold Hard Football Facts. Finally, football season is here. We've been talking for 6-7 months, breaking down last year's data. We finally have new data to break down, new games to talk about, a big win for the Patriots, a lot of big games coming up. The New England Patriots schedule suddenly looks a little tougher now than it may have looked before the start of the season, the way some of their upcoming opponents have played. I'm joined, as always, by Pat Immig, my sidekick in St. Louis. Pat, how you doing?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing well. How are things in lovely St. Louis right now?
Well, with the exception of the murder that took place over an argument about a pork steak yesterday, everything's just peachy here in St. Louis.
Now, that's funny, and I guess this is going to be a theme now on our show, but last week when we had the debut of the Cold Hard Football Facts, randomly you had sent me an email about somebody who had murdered somebody over a bag of Cheetos.
That's correct. Yeah, downtown St. Louis.
Go on.
Well, I was just going to say it was clearly the end of the bag, and people were scuffling about, and you know, one thing led to another, and then of course there was a story with yesterday where a nephew, I believe, murdered his uncle over a pork steak. They were arguing about the difference between a pork steak and a pork chop. And if they had listened to the Cold Hard Football Facts last week, Chris Hart could have told them that, our world champion chef that joined us, and we might have prevented this disaster.
Yeah, that's bizarre. You guys in St. Louis are a little crazy. Maybe it's you know, the 10 years now, the 8 years without Kurt Warner that has got everybody down there. I don't know what the...
He has those healing powers that miraculously transform something.
Well, he did lead two different, you know, kind of, struggling franchises, the Super Bowl between the Rams and the Cardinals. So he does... And the Cardinals being the Patriots' opponent coming up this weekend, so he does have some sort of magic powers. I know St. Louis was a better place when he was there, that's for sure.
That is definitely true.
But anyways, folks, we want you to be a part of the show. You can email us at webradio@patriots.com. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You can Twitter us at Football Facts. I know a lot of you will be listening to this, listening to the show later. You can Twitter us in again at Football Facts. And the question I want to know right now from Patriots fans is what is New England's record going to be? I'm telling you, some fans around Boston, some Patriots fans around the country and around the world were talking, can this team go 16-0? But looking at their schedule now, all of a sudden, you know, everyone's talking about it's the easiest schedule in football based on last year's record. Pat, that doesn't look to be the case right now. Baltimore was devastatingly good, right?
Yeah, that was scary with the kind of licking that they put on Cincinnati on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, they just destroyed them. The Jets, who the Patriots play twice, of course, every year, all of a sudden, they're not the Patsy everybody thought they were going to be. They look strong, hanging 48 points on Buffalo, the most points in the NFL this week. The Patriots still have Houston and San Francisco to go, two teams that I predicted would be in the Super Bowl this year. They play those two teams late in the year.
Yeah, and San Francisco, that the score 30-22 on Sunday, that was not indicative of the fact that San Francisco pretty much popped Green Bay right in the mouth and beat them up physically. I thought that game could have – the Packers seem to have gotten a lot of calls that went in their favor, and I think that really that game was a lot like that Giants game last year where – you know, the score wasn't as indicative of the actual game on the field.
Yeah, no, I think that was actually, of all the wins, there was a lot of blowouts this week. A lot of teams putting 40, you know, hanging 40 on their opponents. But to me, that San Francisco performance was the most impressive because they went on the road, they went into, you know, famous Lambeau Field. They really took it to the Packers. They really did. Like you said, Pat, the score wasn't indicative of the beating. You know, we break down every game before and after with our quality stats. These are our stats that have a direct correlation to winning football games. And San Francisco won by basically every indicator. You know, they passed the ball better. They ran the ball better. Alex Smith looked better than Aaron Rodgers. They won all the efficiency indicators that we look at Cold Hard Football Facts. Those are really
the difference between victory and defeat. That's why we call them quality stats. You know, you look at our offensive and defensive efficiency indicators. You win those statistical battles. You win almost 90% of NFL games, and that was a really impressive performance. I think a statement game by the 49ers, and that to me of all the games, maybe was the most impressive of all of them.
Yeah, arguably the two most impressive team performances came from the Harbaugh family, which could definitely last year's Thanksgiving game. Maybe that could end up being the Super Bowl too.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. And anyway, Pat, we got a whole bunch. We got guests lined up. We got different segments lined up. Why don't you hit us with what we got coming up for the next 2 hours?
Well, we're going to start by tackling some of the iciest issues following week one, heading into week two. Russell Baxter, the statistician who joined us last week, former ESPN NFL statistician, now a part of the Cold Hard Football Facts family. He's going to be with us talking about his recent piece that was just published on Cold Hard Football Facts, as well as some other things. Also going to talk about the top five, in this case, this week's CHFF top five, the quality stats power rankings. We finally have a week of football, a week of data to dive into.
Yeah, and we get so much data, we kick out so much stuff. And the great thing about the quality stats power rankings, and we'll talk in more detail a little later on in the show, if you're tops in that indicator, you're probably going to win the Super Bowl. So we're gonna dive into that later in the show.
I'm also going to talk about the Patriots-Cardinals matchup, which was briefly alluded to earlier. And if you check out coldhardfootballfacts.com right now, Russell Baxter's 30 matter of facts piece mentions that the last time the Cardinals traveled to Foxborough, they lost by about 40 points when Kurt Warner was the quarterback. It was the Super Bowl season, but that was a quite the mismatch. And then we'll also try to stump the facts. Basically, if anybody out there has any questions they would like to challenge the Potentate of Pigskin, Carrie J. Byrne, with, feel free to call in at any point, and we'll see if you can stump Mr. J. Byrne. And then Brian Poe is a former chef for Kurt Schilling. He's going to be in our tailgate cooking segment. And whenever I head up to Boston, Carrie, you're going to have to take me to Poe's Kitchen at the Rattlesnake.
Yeah, he's got two places, Poe's Kitchen at the Rattlesnake and Poe's Tip Tap Room, which is brand new. The reason we're having Brian on, he's an interesting guy. One, we like to do a little bit of tailgating. We'll do that every episode in the second hour. But what he does, he was Kurt Schilling's personal chef when they lived in Arizona, and that's the connection with the Patriots playing the Cardinals this week. He was the personal chef of Kurt Schilling. Then Brian Poe moved to Boston back, I forget the year, I'm not a baseball guy, 2004, I think it was the year, I think it was actually the year the Red Sox won the World Series.
Yeah, they swept the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Get it out of your system.
That's right. And about 2 months later, after Brian moved to Boston, Kurt Schilling was traded to the Red Sox, which is a kind of a momentous occasion in Boston sports history. And Brian likes to joke that he was traded to Boston right before Schilling. So a little bit of baseball, but there's a football connection, and also a great chef. And by the way, an SEC football fan, he's got some great stories about growing up down south and what life is like and in that crazy college football environment. So he's pretty cool, and I look forward to talking to him.
You ready to dive into the iciest issues for the week?
Yeah, sure. First of all, I want to invite Patriots fans. I want to know, what is New England's record going to be this year? Have you changed your mind after looking how good some of their upcoming opponents played in week one? Send it to us at webradio@patriots.com. Tweet it to me at footballfacts. What will New England's record be? And we'll talk about it during the show. So, all right, Pat, let's kick it. Let's kick it into our icy issues here. What do we got?
All right, your first issue for discussion, the performance in week one by the Atlanta Falcons proves that the Falcons made the right decision to trade all of their draft picks to acquire Julio Jones in 2011.
That is not a cold hard football fact. We are still not sold. I know they look great against the Chiefs. They won 40-24. Matt Ryan, by the way, number one in the NFL in real quarterback rating, a very important indicator. The reason it's an important indicator, it has the highest correlation of victory of any stat in football. If you have a better real quarterback rating, you win almost 90% of all NFL games. We track all that at Cold Hard and Cold Hard Insider. With that said, you know, they traded a lot of picks. Their defense declined last year. I'm still afraid that they don't have a Super Bowl caliber defense. And we've seen throughout history, we started three times last year, Pat. We had three historic offenses between Green Bay, New England, and New Orleans. None of them could get it done at the end because they all had defensive issues. And we all get excited. Fans get excited by those sexy offenses and the great passing receiving combinations. And like I said, nobody played better. Not even RG3 put up a better real quarterback rating in week one, but I do have concerns that they still gave away too much for what is clearly going to be a great receiver, but at what cost, and we'll find out what that cost was defensively, you know, I think in the weeks and years down the road.
Very good. Your next issue, ESPN should bring back Mike and Mike for the second game of their opening night doubleheader next year and beyond.
I know why you're asking this, because Chris Berman did the second game, and I understand you are not a Boomer fan, Pat.
Well, I'm not a fan of him broadcasting an NFL game on Monday night.
What?
Yes, exactly. If he wants to hang out and whoop all day during highlights in the studio, I have no problem with that. He has earned that right, but it was clear that his preparation was not there. I don't even know that his attention to the game was really there. And at one point, he actually yelled, "Look out!" Kind of like Shaggy yelling.
Like he was watching a horror movie?
Yeah, it was like he was in a Scooby-Doo movie or a horror movie, and he yelled, "Look out!" when a bunch of Raiders were ready to sack Phillip Rivers. And it was just unfortunate because I was trying to get into the game. The game itself wasn't that exciting,
yeah.
But they could. There's so many guys out there that no one's even heard of as far as announcers. I mean, guy on Westwood One Radio, Dave Sims, that's a guy who does TV for the Seattle Mariners. He would do a great job if given the chance. I mean, and Mike and Mike would be better than the alternative, which would be Chris Berman. So if he, did, if he wants to do the Applebee's commercials too, hey, you need your shrimp scampi and your endorsement deals, that's fine. But
now you don't have a problem with him as an in-studio guy. Your beef is him in the booth, which he does very rarely, admittedly.
Right, yeah, and he does, but it goes to the U.S. Open in golf, too, and it's just the nicknames have a place and time, and that's Boomer Time, which should be the studio. And, you know, if anybody actually were to count and time his two-minute drills on ESPN, his two-minute drills usually average out to about 5.5 to 6 minutes, so the marketing team might want to change that, too.
All right, well, I got to answer this. Should Mike and Mike replace Boomer in the second Monday Night Football game? And I got to admit, I'm a lot older than you, Pat. I don't usually make it. You know, they do the second Monday Night game in week one now of the NFL season. I don't usually make it through that game. So, plus I'm an hour ahead of you. So you are much more qualified to comment on who should be doing that game. But I will say, no, that is not a cold hard football fact. Mike and Mike should not replace Chris Berman. I think the guy's a legend, and you got to give him a little leeway there.
Does that mean I'm not going to get a bonus at the end of the year?
Yeah, you have to agree with me to get the company bacon bonus at the end of the year.
That's right.
All
Your
right,
next issue following Monday night, Joe Flacco's performance is a indicator of the fact that he's one of the league's elite quarterbacks.
Well, this is a tough one because I've been kind of not a Joe Flacco guy. I think he hasn't shown the efficiency you need to win at the next level, to get to the next level, to get to the Super Bowl, to be a Super Bowl quarterback. I think his average per attempt, which is a key indicator of team success, you have a high average per attempt. You have a higher average per attempt than your opponent. You win 75 or 80% of all NFL games. It's a very simple way to know who the good teams are and who's winning the game. Just look at that average per attempt. And his has not been that great. But you know what? He showed me a lot in the AFC title game at New England, right? You're right here in this building. He showed me a lot in that game. And the other thing is he was just on fire in that game against the Bengals. I mean, he just torched him. I had not seen that Joe Flacco before. And right now the Ravens, and we'll talk about it a bit more later, number one in our quality stats power rankings, conversely with only one game under our belt. The Bengals number 32, you know, the worst team in football based on that one game. But I was impressed, and I will say, yes, that is a cold hard football fact that Joe Flacco is now an elite quarterback, and people better watch out. And by the way, the Patriots play them in a couple of weeks.
All right, your next issue, HBO's Hard Knocks is now dead after the news that it hurt the Dolphins in week one.
Wow, because, you know, who was it? Houston, was it J.J. Watt from the Texans?
Yeah, J.J. Watt was quoted as saying that he, you know, picked up some info on the Dolphins based off of the series on HBO. So he's basically scouting his opponent, getting information on snap counts and such, and it helped him out.
Yeah, you know, I always wonder why. I mean, teams do it for certain reasons. They want the publicity. They want to set a certain tone. They want to show a certain side of their organization. I mean, I guess I get why teams want that insight, but then again, there's organizations that you would probably never see do that. Probably number one among them, the New England Patriots. I can't see them allowing an HBO crew in here to get that kind of insight and broadcast it before the season. I can't see the Pittsburgh Steelers doing it. I can't see the New York Giants doing it. I can't see some of the elite NFL franchises that consistently win feeling the need to do that, one, and two, just allowing it to happen because of perhaps your potential competitive disadvantages. So I don't know if it'll kill the show. I'll say this. That is not a cold, hard football fact that admission by the Houston Texans will kill the show. But I think it'll give some additional teams second thought before they do that. I know if I was the coach of an NFL team, I'd be a little weary for a number of reasons, and competitive disadvantage being probably number one among them.
Your next dicey issue, Rondae Barber is a future Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, you know what? I think he's a great player. I think you look at the length of his career, how well he's done. And by the way, you know, that 2002 Buccaneers team that he was a part of, the best defensive passer rating, a key indicator of team success. And what it does, it takes the formula for quarterback and applies it to pass defense. And what you find are great teams and great defenses throughout history had a great defensive passer rating. And he was a key part of that team. And that team had the lowest defensive passer rating, I think, of the last 25 years. Something crazy. They were a lights-out defense, particularly against the pass. They gave up fewer than 200 points. And we saw what they did against Rich Gannon and the Oakland Raiders in the 2002 Super Bowl, February 2003. And you're looking, you know, his interceptions, his sack totals. I think he's on pace to be, what, a 30-40 guy?
Yeah, if he gets two more sacks, that'll make him the only player in history with 30 sacks and 40 interceptions. And I think he's on game 201 as far as consecutive starts, too.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's just been a stud. Of course, with that said, being a part of the great Buccaneers defense of 02, the team last year, and I think we'll talk about this late in the show, the team last year, the worst defense in Buccaneers franchise history, and then all of a sudden they have a lights-out performance against the Carolina Panthers in week one that nobody saw coming. We certainly didn't see that coming. Probably the greatest single turnaround. So I would say, yes, the greatest single turnaround from last year to week one was Tampa. So I would say, yes, Rondae Barber is, in fact, a future Hall of Famer.
Okay, and that leads into the next icy issue, and that is, based off of the performance by Tampa Bay, one game is enough to deduce that Greg Schiano, the new coach, has installed an ass-kicking attitude in Tampa.
I mean, what a performance. They were great against the run. They harried Cam Newton. They did everything right. I mean, that was the word, like we just said. Apparently, we set that up unintentionally well. That was the best turnaround from the end of last year to this year. Most notably, okay, here's a great cold hard football fact. The Buccaneers were dead last, number 32 last year, on our defensive hog index, a key measure of postseason success. And obviously a bad team. They had the worst defensive front in football. And right now, after week one, they have the number one defensive front in football. So I say, yes, it is a cold hard football fact that Greg Schiano has changed the attitude in there. Dramatically, change it dramatically, and I like what I've seen so far.
Do you see that string of dominance? I mean, do you think they're going to be able to keep it up over the course of a season, or is this just they'll be a middle of the pack as a result of the new mentality?
You know, I don't see them being a legit, you know, major playoff contender. I mean, they were 4-12 last year, but who knows? There's a reason they call it the not-for-long league. We see this. There's always a team or two every year that comes out of nowhere that shocks us. I think last year it was San Francisco, who is now, you know, 2 years removed from a you know, bad stretch of many years of bad football, and now a serious Super Bowl contender. So I can see them. Could they challenge for the playoffs this year? Maybe. It's still a tough division. It's still a top-heavy division. But, you know, who knows? By next year, we could be talking them as a Super Bowl favorite, the way the NFL works.
All right, next issue. Al Pacino, the actor, will make a great Joe Paterno.
That's the story. He's going to play Al Pacino, the famous actor, is going to play Joe Paterno in the Joe Paterno movie based on Joe Poznanski's book. Is that the story?
Yes, that's the – well, he's – Pacino's trying to champion that cause. He said he'd like to do that, yeah.
You know, I gotta tell you, from my perspective, I don't care. I used to be a big Penn State guy. You know, it's the biggest place to, and I went to Boston College, but Boston College, it's still, college football isn't big here in New England like it is in the rest of the country. So I've been going out to Penn State for football games since, I don't know, 1990, 91, for 20 years. I went out there every year for a football game because I loved to revel in that small town Americana college football environment. Loved Joe Paterno. I loved all that stuff. And now it just seems so hollow and shallow and like it was all a mirage. Like it was like freaky. And I'm not going back anytime soon. I don't mean that as any disrespect to the kids who were there. It's just a different place now. And, I don't care. I will say that's not a cold hard football fact that Al Pacino will make a great Joe Paterno because Pat, I don't care.
He does. He did make a great head coach, Tony D'Amato, though, in the movie Any Given Sunday.
That's right. I forgot about that. What is that your favorite football movie?
I wouldn't call it my favorite, but it's definitely it's definitely interesting. I mean, it's got a good cast, and it's got a anytime that you have the girl that played Jesse Spano in Saved by the Bell as one of the supporting actresses, you know, you're going to score brownie points with me. So.
And that's how you judge movies, by actresses who once appeared in Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, and they also had a good tandem of redheads and Anne Margaret and Lauren Holly. So that's quality.
You two know
the
redheads. I've been going through a redhead phase in my life the last couple of years. I think it's just getting older and maturing that I appreciate redheads now that I went in a way I didn't before.
Is that just any woman that wears like a Broncos helmet, or is that?
That might be it. That might be it. So I don't know. But listen, we got to take a break here. We're going to be talking to Russell Baxter, Cold Hard Football Facts contributor and football statistician Russell Baxter, the pro football guru. When we return, call us on the East Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email us, webradio@patriots.com, Twitter @footballfacts, and we'll see you on the other side.
Cold Hard Football Facts. Our facts can beat up your opinions.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello, football fans. Kerry Byrne here alongside Pat Immig. Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts. We're very excited. I believe we have Russell Baxter on the line. Russell, how you doing?
I'm doing terrific, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We couldn't be better. If we were any better, we'd be Russell Baxter.
Wow. That's high praise.
Absolutely, absolutely. So listen, this was a real, as always, week one of the NFL season, a lot of twists and turns, a lot of interesting things happen, a lot of surprises. What, as a man who is the football guru, and your Twitter is at BaxFootballGuru, is that correct? So Russell is the football guru. What jumped out at you as it's kind of the top storyline? What was most surprising to you?
Well, I mean, in an oddity of sorts, it just shows you the ever-changing nature of the league. We had three teams who, I mean, if you technically go back, it was actually the last seven Super Bowl champions all lost week one, because you have a pair of Giants and a pair of Steelers in there.
Yep.
Along with the Colts, but I think the ones that stood out was actually the last three with the Packers. I'm sorry, I'll do them in order. The Giants, the Packers, and the Saints. And I think it really kind of stood out that way, guys, because they all lost at home.
Yep.
And, you know, if you're the Saints, where you went 9-0 at home last year, including the playoffs, and outscored your nine opponents by 203 points.
Yeah, what did they score, 42 points per game at home? It was like one or two highest scoring home offenses in the history of football last year.
Right, and it's not like they didn't score, but they gave up 40. And, you know, Green Bay, which, of course, you know, saw their 13-game home winning streak snapped against the Giants in the playoffs last year. So now, you know, let's rewind. Now it'll be a 13-game regular season winning streak. Well, no matter how you slice it, they've lost two in a row at home.
Yep,
and in fact, the Packers are now, I believe, a 2-3 football team since going 13. In fact, they're a 2-3 football team since winning those 19 straight games. And here's what it shows you in this league. I mean, we love to talk quarterbacks, and we love a quarterback-driven league and all the yards and all the things. The Green Bay Packers in their last three games have given up 108 points.
Yeah, well, listen, there were three very similar, incredibly similar but highly flawed teams in football in 2011, okay?
Right.
Green Bay, New Orleans, and New England.
Mm-hmm.
Three of the, I forget how many it was, 20-something teams have scored 500 points in a season?
We're somewhere in that regard, but we know it was the first time that three had ever done it in one
year. That three had done it in one year, yeah, that
right.
Scored 500 points in one year. But you know what? They all had struggles on defense. The Packers gave up more passing yards. And we talked about this all the time at Cold Hard Football Facts, and I don't think it was a big enough national storyline. They gave up more passing yards than any team in the history of football last year, almost 5,000 passing yards, We talked about all those great, you know, the three quarterbacks who passed for over 5,000
right.
in 1 year. But they almost gave up 5,000. That was a flawed team, and that flawed defense was exposed by Eli Manning in the playoffs. They gave up almost 10 yards per pass attempt, which if you give up 10 yards per pass attempt, you lose about 99% of NFL games. The Saints had a lot of issues on pass defense, and the Patriots did too. The Patriots, to me, more than any other of those teams, went out and aggressively addressed those issues in the offseason. Their first six draft picks devoted to defenders. They everyone talking about in Boston how young and speedy that defense looked. Granted, against the Titans, not a great offense. I don't know if the Packers and the Saints did what they needed to do to shore up those defenses. And I think it showed in week one, Russell.
Well, it's funny you said that, because the Packers, by the way, also used their first six draft picks on the defensive side of the ball in April.
Yep.
The problem with the Saints is that, you remember last year, they were middle of the pack when it came to rushing the passer. Their leading tackler was also their leading sack artist, which was Roman Harper, the safety.
Yep, which is
7.5 sacks. So, rookie quarterback, RG3, comes in. The Saints get one sack on Sunday. Guess who had the sack? Patrick Robinson, the cornerback.
Yep. You know, hey, this is just kind of a tangent because you brought up Roman Harper. Are you a Darren Sharper fan? I know he's no longer playing, but...
I'm fans of guys who inexplicably or explicably somehow always seem to have the football around them. A guy recently who was like that, OJ Ogbonna.
Yep.
Guys who force a lot of fumbles, guys who recover a lot of fumbles, seem to always be around the interception, so on. Some of those guys are almost, like I said, inexplicable, be it ball skills, ball instincts, or whatever. But Darren Sharper, I think, was one of those kind of guys.
He's one of the all-time leaders in interceptions.
Yes.
When he was playing, he was one of the all-time leaders, if not the all-time leader in active leader in interceptions. And when the Saints acquired him before the 2009 season, they ended the year number three in defensive passer rating, one of the key stats we look at Cold Hard Football Facts. The reason they won the Super Bowl is because they paired Drew Brees with one of the league's best pass defenses, and we saw that pass defense in action in that Super Bowl. And then they lost him. He was injured. He hasn't come back. As far as I know, he hasn't played again and is out of football. If he may be playing with someone. I'm not aware of it. But
he's not. No,
yeah.
I've seen Darren on TV.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I don't think he ever officially announced his retirement, but I don't think he has played now in 2 years.
Exactly. So like I said, I didn't know if he just latched on with someone last minute and I wasn't aware of it, but since he's gone, I mean, he was a game-changing defender, and I'm wondering why, and I know we're a little out of a tangent here, but that's what you and I do, Russell, because we're such football football
geeks.
Well,
that's what football talk is. You're talking about football. I mean, there's no rhyme.
He, to me, is a Hall of Fame defender who had an immediate impact on the teams he played with. And by the way, the Vikings were never as good without him either defensively.
Well, I'll back this up with even this, is the year they won the Super Bowl, they had 39 takeaways. They had 8 more in the postseason. So that's 47 takeaways in 19 games in 2009. I'm trying to remember last week if they had a takeaway last week. I know they didn't have an interception from Robert Griffin III. I know Robert Griffin III did have, I think he did fumble once. I can't remember if he lost it. They might have. Well, let's put it this way. Since the 2009 season, if you add up the Saints' takeaways in the last, what would be now 36 games, including the playoffs?
Yep.
They're either at 47 or below 47.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a night, you know, it's a night and day right. difference. And like I said, that defensive passer rating is reflective of those turnovers. And we talked about this last week, what we call our defensive hog index. And part of that is how well you rush the passer.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize this. Those 2009 Saints were number six at rushing the passer, pressuring opposing quarterbacks. And that, throughout all of football history, it's a magic formula. I don't care if you go back to the 40s and 50s, and I try to impress this on football fans. Teams ran the ball more back in the olden days, but mm-hmm. passing was not more important. Championships were won by effective quarterbacks and effective pass defenses, and it's just been that way, for the dawn of time. And that, you know, and that when I see a team that's declined, I look immediately either their passing efficiency or their defensive passing efficiency.
Right.
And I can guarantee you, no matter which team you're looking at, you will find the answer to their woes or their success in that efficiency difference. We call it passer rating differential. You will find the answer to a team's issues in that difference in passing efficiency every single time.
Well, you look at some of those great, you know, the funny thing is you look at some of those great teams. I mean, well, even just like take the 70s, which was a running era until they changed the rules in 1978. You know, as much as the Dolphins with, you know, Larry Zonka, Jim Kick, and Mercury Morris, and we talk about, you know, the first team with 2,000-yard rushers in 1972.
Yep.
You know, a big part of that offense was also a guy named Paul Warfield, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
One of the great downfield threats in the history of football.
Absolutely, and running that ball and the ability to play action and rely on that run opens things up. I mean, the Steelers speak for themselves. In the early Steeler dynasty days, winning those first two Super Bowls, it was really Franco Harris who kind of opened things up for Lynn Swann and John Stallworth. In the late 70s, it was actually Swann and Stallworth who opened things up for Franco Harris.
Yep, but that defense was always consistent. In fact, the best defensive passer rating since World War II was the 1973 Pittsburgh Steelers. Before they had Jack Lambert, they drafted Jack Lambert the year after that. So they were already a great shutdown defense. In fact, a lot of the rule changes of 1978 was because nobody could pass the ball on the Steelers.
It was Mel Blount was a linebacker playing cornerback.
Yeah, I mean he was probably one of the the premier.
Right. And if you've been to Canton any time, and I usually go every year, and you know they march out the you know the amazing talent that's in the Hall of Fame. And anytime you're sitting with somebody at the banquet and Mel Blount walks up the ramp, more times than not, the first thing out of people's mouth is, oh, my goodness, I think he could still play.
I have seen him, not in person like you have, but I have seen him, and he is one of the legendary physical specimens. Real quick, before we get back to today's NFL, there's only about eight teams in NFL history that led the league in both offensive passer rating and defensive passer rating, meaning they were the most efficient passing team and the best pass defense. Some of the notable ones, the 58 and 59 Colts that won back-to-back championships with Johnny Unitas, right? Johnny Unitas, obviously a great quarterback, but he was playing with the best pass defense in football. That's why he won two championships. He didn't do it on his own. He was playing with a great defense that made life miserable on opposing quarterbacks. Two of the other ones, the 72 and 73 Miami Dolphins, who went, 32-2 over the two seasons?
Well, yeah, they were 17. It would be 17-0.
17-0
and
15-2. 15-2.
17-0 and 32-2.
They were also number one in offensive passer rating and defensive passer rating. So they did run the ball effectively. And they're a team you can say that the running game, just a brilliant running team. Probably the last dominant, if not the greatest dominant running team in football history, the way they were able to control games. But they did pass the ball effectively. And that's always the linchpin to greatness, is that ability to pass the football. I don't care if it's the 1940s Bears or 50s Browns or 60s Packers or 70s Dolphins. That's always the consistency, and it's just something I like to harp on because
And it always put the cherry on the sundae, and then you can spin this debate for another time. And that great run by the Dolphins, and for people who watched them, a lot of people tell you this 1973 Dolphins, though not undefeated,
we're a better team,
more seasoned, more experienced, more dominant than the 72 Dolphins.
Well, an interesting thing, and when I say this, Dolphins fans think I'm criticizing them. They say, oh, you're a Boston guy, you know, and that has nothing to do with it. The 1972 Dolphins beat two teams all season with winning records, the 8-6 Chiefs and the 8-6 Giants. They didn't play anybody, and but the fact of the matter is you take a great team and combine it with perhaps the easiest schedule in football history. I think their opponent's winning record that year was like 357. I mean, a ridiculously easy schedule, but you take a great team and combine an easy schedule, you get that once in a lifetime undefeated team. So not taking away from anything they did it. They're still the best team of all time. You know, they can always say that, but it was a confluence of circumstances. For certain.
And they also, of course, then they get in the playoffs and they do have to play better teams. And you know,
they didn't win big in the playoffs, Russell. They did not.
I want to say right off the top of my head, they beat Cleveland like 20-14. They beat Pittsburgh 21-17, and they beat Washington 14-7.
Yeah, so, and they were underdogs in that game. They were 16-0 and underdogs in the Super Bowl.
But if you remember them in 73, they were seasoned. I mean, listen, even in 1974, the year they wound up losing the Sea of Hands game to the Raiders. You know, the 1974 Dolphins, even though they fell short of the AFC Championship game, they were still, if they weren't that maybe the second or third best team in the league that year.
Maybe even better
than Pittsburgh was, even though Pittsburgh wound up winning the title. And then Pittsburgh, much like the Miami Dolphins in 72 were undefeated and won, and not necessarily in dominant fashion, and in 73 they were dominant, the 1974 Steelers were maybe like the third choice between my, remember that, you know, the two best teams in football played already, and then Pittsburgh upset Oakland and then beat Minnesota.
Yep.
But then the year after, with that year of seasoning under your belt and that championship and that confidence, the 1975 Steelers were one of the better teams in, you know, in the last 30 years.
No, absolutely. You know, the AFC, that was kind of the height of the AFC. They were just dominant in the early days of the merger. So let's fast forward to 2012, Russell. that was fun, man. It's always good to talk football history with you. But 2012, week one, I want to know who was the best quarterback in week one. There was a lot of great performances, a lot of guys surprised, you know, Mark Sanchez, Alex Smith, RG3, Matt Ryan, you know, Joe Flacco. Run down the list. Who to you most impressed you with their week one performance?
Yeah, I think Joe Flacco probably impressed me the most, because there is now a confidence and an ease of which he throws the football with. He now, to me, Kerry, looks more like a quarterback than a passer. And, you know, the deep ball that he threw right off the bat to Torrey Smith, you know, the deep ball, you know, semi-deep ball that he threw, the touchdown pass to Anquan Boldin. You saw a lot of it, a little bit, coming last year in the AFC title game. And it was funny because you really didn't even see it that much in the Houston game last year in the divisional playoffs. A lot of people felt, like I did, that Houston outplayed Baltimore in the divisional playoffs last year, and those interceptions by Yates really killed them.
Yep.
But, you know, Flacco, to me, he just looks confident. He also sounds more confident. You know, that was a team that all of a sudden, they're up 17-3, the Bengals crept in, and, you know, like I wrote today, the Ravens go into the game with Philadelphia on a 27-0 to roll in terms of points scored. They scored the final 27 points of that game.
Yeah, well, listen, we talked about it before you came on. I have not been a Joe Flacco guy. I was seriously wowed by that performance, I got to admit. And the Baltimore right now, number one in our quality stats power rankings. We're going to talk about that a bit more a little later. But let me make a case for somebody.
Okay.
Who did not get enough attention, but I wrote about him this week in Cold Hard Football Facts. I wrote about it in my weekly column on Sports Illustrated. Matt Ryan,
mm-hmm.
who is almost been an afterthought compared to some of the other more explosive performances. Obviously, RG3, publicity-wise, being a rookie, doing that, outgunning Drew Brees, just phenomenal. Matt Ryan right now leads the NFL in what we call real quarterback rating, the most effective performance in football last year. If you look at everything and what our real quarterback rating does, Russell, it doesn't just look at passing, because
right.
passer rating is not a quarterback rating. It's a function of just passing and nothing else. We call it real quarterback rating because we look at sacks, we look at fumbles, we look at rushing touchdowns, and we combine that all with passing numbers. He's number one in the NFL, 139.8 real quarterback rating, 15 points, by the way, better than RG3. He averaged over 9 yards every time he touched the ball. That includes running, includes being sacked. I'm not sure if he was sacked at all. Actually, he was sacked once. Rushing attempts, he ran the ball, I think, 5 times, scored a touchdown. He still averaged 9 times every time he dropped back to pass or ran the ball, which is a phenomenal number. And, oh, by the way, the only quarterback with 4 touchdowns in week one, ran for 3, passed for 1. And I think that was a quiet, a kind of a underappreciated statement game by Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think I was, you know, when you asked me the question, I think I was less surprised by Matt Ryan because of what I was seeing at the end of the year last year with him. And Julio Jones, I don't think people realize that, and of course I know everybody's going to jump on the fact that they scored a whole 2 points against the Giants in the playoffs, but you go back to Matt Ryan's last 5 regular season games, he has thrown 13 touchdown passes without an interception, and he's thrown 8 of those 13 touchdown passes to Julio Jones. So to me, there's something going on there with Ryan and Jones that definitely bears watching. He was a... You know, when I did my prediction being here, I picked Julio Jones as my breakout player. Now, I don't know if people consider the 6th pick in the draft a breakout player, but you saw last year those 10 touchdown passes that Ryan threw in the last 4 games and 6 went to Jones. You saw it throughout the preseason, and then you saw it week one. Julio Jones and Matt Ryan definitely got something going. And so I was a little less surprised by Matt Ryan because, to me, they just kind of picked up where they left off. How ironic would it be that it would be Ryan and Flacco?
Yep. The two 2008 guys, yep.
Right. And it's so funny because it's Joe Flacco who, you know, has been in the playoffs every year since he got there. You know, people don't realize the Ravens have the longest active winning a longest active streak in the league in terms of playoff appearances. They've been there 4 years. And Flacco, every one of those years, I believe, has won at least one playoff game.
Yep, absolutely.
Meanwhile, the Falcons have never had a losing season with Ryan, and they've had three of playoff appearances in 4 years, but he still hasn't won. They haven't won a playoff game with him as the quarterback. That's how I like to say it.
So,
I mean,
all right,
not
well,
Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson. It's not
all right, Russell, well, we went a little over. It's like I wind you up, and you keep going. I love it. Love talking football today, football history with you. But we will catch up with you next week. We're going to take a break now, and we will see you folks on the other side of the break.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
Hello, football fans. Kerry Byrne here with Pat Emig. Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com. Don't forget, you can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. You want to shout out to us on Twitter, at Football Facts. So, Pat, how we doing?
Doing good. Yourself?
I could not be better. Like I said earlier, if I was any better, I'd be Russell Baxter. So.
That's good to know. Are you ready for a top five?
You sure, sure. What's our top five this week?
Well, this week we're discussing the quality stats power rankings, which is basically our tell-all, our be-all, end-all, telltale sign of the most complete team, according to our quality staff. Yep.
And the end of the apocalypse. Don't forget the end of the...
That's right.
The apocalypse.
You're supposed to prepare all canned goods before you listen to the following 5 minutes of radio.
Well, you know, what we do, the quality stats power rankings are just... We size up every team across the board and all our indicators. And the cool thing about it, Pat, is that we introduced this a couple years ago. New Orleans finished number one in the quality stats power rankings in 2009. They won the Super Bowl. Indianapolis was number three, the highest-rated team in the AFC. They won the AFC title. 2010, Green Bay was number one, despite their 10-6 record, number one across the board in our quality stats power rankings. They won the Super Bowl. By the way, number two was Pittsburgh, the team they beat in the Super Bowl. And last year, this is what makes last year intriguing and this year intriguing. The Texans were number one in our quality stats power rankings before basically talking about an apocalypse. An apocalyptic injury struck the team, losing their top two quarterbacks, going into the playoffs with the rookie quarterback, which, as we talked about with Russell, is never a good thing, which is one reason I liked Houston to win the Super Bowl this year, because I think they're stacked at all levels and our quality stats power rankings said it last year, but will they say it this year? And, you know, we finally have our power rankings out after week one. And what do we got here? Who's at number one, Pat?
Well, our number one is Baltimore, coming off of the 44-13 beating of Cincinnati. And which that was an interesting game, too, because the Bengals had played the Ravens pretty tough the previous six or seven encounters. Number two, we've got the your Houston Texans, followed by Atlanta, Denver, and Chicago. So Atlanta at number three is probably a very surprising team to me, just from the standpoint of they're showing up across on the defensive side of the ball as well, which is one of your biggest concerns, I know.
Yeah, well, you know, the key to winning in the NFL is always that balance. And right now, that's what this indicator shows us, our quality stats power rankings. Who's got the balance at all levels? And these aren't just stats we throw against the wall. These are stats that have what we call a direct correlation to winning football games. And we track that correlation to victory at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. We track the predictive rate of victory at Insider. The stats are available to anyone at Cold Hard Football Facts, but the kind of the correlation and how they size up winners and losers is, you know, at Insider. But what I'm getting at is, if you're good in we use these indicators because these are indicators that win and lose football games, which is why the teams at the top of the list are the teams that go on winning Super Bowls, because they're good at the things you need to be good at to win football games. And what do all these teams have in common, Pat? They all dominated the opposition in week one.
Yeah, and all of them, not surprisingly, scored at least 30 points, too.
Yeah, and I think 40 in some cases. I mean, it was just an impressive performance. You know, the way Baltimore dominated the Bengals, I hadn't seen somebody dominate that badly since I read 50 Shades of Grey, you know? That was... Sorry,
but we have a drum roll somewhere.
Yeah, we need Kevin to set up a drum roll for my bad jokes, but he's shaking his head in the producer Kevin Collins is shaking his head in the booth. So
I usually play this.
There you go. That's what we need, Kevin. That's what we need. I mean, Baltimore to me was, you know, the number one in our quality stats power rankings. I think the general consensus is they were the most impressive all around victor in week one. Is that accurate the way you see it, Pat?
Yeah, I'm kind of getting the same vibe. I'm intrigued though by the number five team, or I guess you could say they're tied with Denver in the power rankings.
Yep.
Number four, the Chicago Bears, and the additions they made in the offseason proved fruitful in the first week. And if that's, you know, obviously Brandon Marshall's not going to haul in nine passes every week for 120 yards,
yep.
But between that, the addition of Michael Bush, and the healthy and happy Matt Forte. If that defense stays healthy, you know what? That team could take that division, as much as last week I was picking the Packers to win the Super Bowl. So anything can happen.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a real interesting game Thursday night between the Bears and the Packers. I mean, you know, we talked about it with Russell. The Packers suddenly look vulnerable, right? I mean, they've lost their last two games at home. They have defensive weaknesses. The Bears seem like they're not a better team, but they seem to be perhaps a more solid team. Don't have all those weaknesses. And don't forget, the Bears were 7-3 last year when Jay Cutler went down with an injury. That was a team that was going to challenge Green Bay for the NFC North title. And if not for that Cutler injury, you know, we talked about Matt Schaub injury in Houston. You know, you can't go into the playoffs with bad quarterbacks, with third-string quarterbacks. And I like Chicago's chances Thursday night. I think they're going to put up a good fight, and I think that's going to be – I think that's a great, great Thursday night football game.
Yeah, and I think it seems like in press conferences, and he'll never admit it or show it, at least not over the top, but it seems like Aaron Rodgers is a little bit rattled almost just with the way he's trying to describe what's going on because for so long last year and the Super Bowl run in 2010 – He was basically playing the quarterback position like it was a Madden football, and now the tide has kind of turned, and the last couple of games at home, he's taken a little bit of a beating.
Well, you know what? Let's do this, Pat. We're going to take a break in a second. On the other side, we're going to talk a lot more Patriots. We're going to look back at the Titans game, talk about the Cardinals game coming up, and kind of break down the Patriots a bit more. But before we do that on the other side of the break, we could talk about the fact that the Green Bay Packers are the greatest front-running team in football. They can't take a punch in the mouth. They don't come back when they're down in the fourth quarter. And we got the cold, hard football facts to prove it. And we will talk about that and the Patriots and talk tailgating on the other side of the break.
Cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com.
Hey,
the truth hurts.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down to 65 odd megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank of America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
These are the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. The truth hurts.
Hello, football fans. Welcome back to the cold, hard football facts on Patriots.com. Excited to be with you guys here for hour number two. We're going to dive into a lot of Patriots in this hour, talk a little tailgating, have a little fun. You can call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Also, hit us up on Twitter, @FootballFacts. Let us know what you're thinking. The question we're asking folks this week, what will the Patriots' record be? I think we were talking earlier, Pat, that the schedule for New England looks a little tougher today than it did before the start of the season, the way some of their future opponents played. So let us know what New England's record will be this year. Send it to us, @FootballFacts. Real quick, we want to get to one of our callers, but real quick, Pat, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the break, and you were saying he looks a little discombobulated. Was that it?
Yeah. He just doesn't have the same natural swag, so to speak, that he had, in late 2010 and through the first 14 or so games last year, 13 games, I guess, before heading to KC.
Before the Kansas City game. Yeah. Well, listen, we got some great cold hard football facts from that. One of our great contributors is a guy named Scott Kazmaier, a great writer out of Pittsburgh. He was actually at footballnation.com. He was the writer of the year for 2011. He's really does a great job. But he does a column called Captain Comeback. That's actually his Twitter handle, @CaptainComeback. And I know you've been reading it, Pat, and it's great stuff. I mean, this guy packs in a lot of stats. But
it's actually astounding, all the information that he and research that he compiles and puts it into one column.
Yeah, no, we love it, and that's what we love to do at Cold Hard, is kind of jam that in. And he's great at it. But he is the national authority on comebacks and game-winning drives. He does the data for us. He does it for other sites, Pro Football Reference. That's his data on comebacks and stuff. And he calls the Green Bay Packers the greatest front-running team in football. You punch them in the mouth, they don't win. Aaron Rodgers is now 3-19 in his career in fourth-quarter comeback opportunities. The worst record in football, if not one of the worst of all time. And what that says is if the Packers aren't winning, since Aaron Rodgers has been quarterback in, 2008, if they're not winning in the fourth quarter, they don't win. They don't win. They are a front-running team. They don't have the guts to come back, to take a punch in the mouth. And the two games they were trailing last year at halftime, the Chiefs and the Giants, the Chiefs in the regular season, when they were undefeated and the Giants in the play, they lost both those games, Pat.
That collective groan was all of Wisconsin dropping their cheese on the ground.
Well, you know what? We got the data to back it up. They are a front-running team. They don't take a punch in the mouth. And they, had another opportunity against the 49ers and didn't come through. So, all right, let's jump on with our favorite caller, Frankie C. Frankie, are you with us?
Hey, Kerry. How are you?
Doing
great. Yourself?
Oh, I'm awesome. There's so much stuff to get to today. I've been loving the show. Loving it.
Well, we appreciate it. Well, Frank called last week, and he brought some historic data for us. What do you bring to the table this week, Frank?
A couple quick things. Firstly, happy birthday to Andrew Luck.
Really? Today's his birthday.
Today is his birthday, September 12th. Secondly, twittering. Is that actually a verb?
Did I say twittering instead of tweeting?
I thought it was tweeting. I thought twittering was what you did in the bathroom when your mom thought you were combing your hair. Okay, also, it's not a pork steak.
Yeah, what is a pork steak anyway, Pat? That's a San Francisco, a St. Louis thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm down with the St. Louis thing. If somebody says pork steak to me, shots are going to be fired.
What would you prefer?
It's a chop.
I never heard.
This is what caused the argument that caused the murder here in St. Louis.
Listen, I've besides football, I've written about food for 20 years, right? And I've never heard it called a pork steak until I saw that story you sent. And I'm going to ask Brian Poe, who's a Southern guy, when he comes on, our chef later on in the show, about pork steaks and pork chops. But I can sense a little anger from Frankie C here over the misuse of pork terminology.
I'm easily bothered by pork terminology. Hey, you know what? I just heard you guys talking a couple minutes ago about you know, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco and all these other quarterbacks that seem to have turned a corner here in their, what, fourth year?
Yep.
And you didn't even mention Mark Sanchez. Isn't this his fourth year?
Yeah, you know what? Is it his fourth year? No, I mean, I should know this off the top of my head.
I want to say it is.
But it is his fourth year. Actually, it's the fifth year for Flacco and Ryan. You're right, Frank. Sanchez is one of those guys who kind of, you know, they played a little rope-a-dope apparently in the preseason. It comes out and, you know, I don't want to call it an electrifying performance, but certainly a great performance that all of a sudden not a lot of people screaming for Tebow today. Imagine if they lost, you know, 20-3.
I wish. I so wish. Wouldn't that be great?
Why are you because you're a Patriots fan or because
because I'm a Tebow guy.
Because you're a Tebow guy, yeah.
How could you not be a Tebow guy?
I am.
I'm a fan of Tebow. I'm also a fan of chaos for Rex Ryan. So I think that would have been very exciting just to see it would have been an apocalyptic backlash for sure.
We've had a lot of apocalyptic events today. That's kind of been our word for the show.
I've heard it. Hey, you know what? It would be like a perfect storm of New York misery. You know, it's a tough day for Rex Ryan. You know, a tough day for Jets fans, and a tough day for Mark Sanchez. I mean, is there a lose situation involved there? Because to me, it sounds like winning from start to finish.
So the guy who sleeps in his Tom Brady pajamas.
Hey, I got a prediction on the Pats record.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna go over those later in the show. But what do you got?
I'm saying 15-1 in the regular season, and only because perfection is so rare and difficult. I think you take a Super Bowl team, and then you actually complete them. You put something in that they were lacking, and now, you know, you're going to have what you're about to have, which is another dominant year by the Patriots.
They're completed like you when you have a pork steak sandwich. Hey, what was that thing? We're gonna do a show. I love and we like to talk tailgating at the Cold Hard Football Facts, and we're gonna talk it in the second hour of each episode. And not to go off on a tangent here, but what was that pork tenderloin we had in Indianapolis at the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, yes.
Pat, do you know these things? You're a Midwestern guy. Do you know pork tenderloin?
Yes, I'm very familiar with pork tenderloin. She and I have been dating for quite some time.
So what they do is in Indiana, I had never heard of this, and I eat a lot of food. But what they do is they take a pork steak or a chop, and it's actually a pork loin, they pound it flat, and they put it in like panko breadcrumbs, and they deep fry it, and then they put it, and then they serve it as a sandwich. And me and Frank went before Super Bowl to a place called what was it called?
Somebody's Plump/Shot.
Plump/Shot. Now Bobby Plump was the guy who in real life shot the game-winning basket that inspired Hoosiers, and he's a legend in Indiana sports lore.
That's some serious clout right there.
Yeah, that is clout. I mean, and
seriously.
And what was it called? Mercer High, and I'm not a basketball guy, forgive me. But anyway, he owns a sports bar, and it was great. But these pork tenderloins were to die for. They were like, and we ate at St. Elmo. We ate at all the kind of the great places out there, went to different parties. But that pork tenderloin was brilliant.
And you said this was on a sandwich, correct?
Yeah. Now, do you do that in St. Louis?
Yeah. I mean, you do it both. You can do it both ways, and you'll see it called either a pork tenderloin or sometimes they call it a pork cutlet as well.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of pork cutlets, but we don't have those sandwiches here, and that's kind of a unique thing. Anyway, we'll do a show sometime down the road on regional food. We could do a whole thing on just Rhode Island has its own weird food culture. We could do a whole thing just on.
Yeah, I've still never had Pennsylvania scrapple ever since.
We have a recipe for scrapple on Cold Hard Football Facts.
Well, I know that. That's why.
Yeah,
I love
all that Pennsylvania Dutch stuff. So anyway, we got to segue into the Patriot. What else you got, Frank? Any more stats or facts for us? Or?
Well, you know, just on a personal note, it's been a tough week. Well, actually, it's been a tough 7 years.
Yep.
I haven't had a date in a long time, you know, so I was kind of considering going, putting a personal ad online, you know, because you know, people seem to have some success with that. Did I just say some sex with that?
Success.
People have been having success, but, you know, I was reminded of a time, this was back in 2005, I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to try it. I'm going to get on that online dating. And so I did, you know, and it was going really well. I met this girl, and we started to chat each other up, and we're getting along great. You know, you got that feeling like, you know, everything's clicking, everything's funny. You know, I think she's funny, she thinks I am. And she says, I'm 5'8 and 135 pounds. So I'm like, great, you know, I'm not a handsome man. Pat, you know what that's like.
It was Maurice Jones-Drew, wasn't it?
Not a handsome man. So she's like, 5'8, 135. I'm like, this might be the perfect girl. So we decide to meet for a couple of drinks. I go out to the bar, and I got to get there early because, you know, I'm not going to walk in there cold and pull a muscle. So I drink. I have a couple of drinks, and the door opens, and I don't even turn around. I can feel the floor vibrating, so I don't need to turn around. I'm just praying that this girl doesn't sit down at my table. So sure enough, this woman sits down at my table, and I'm looking at her, and her head alone was 135 pounds.
Oh, shit.
So,
sounds like your average date.
So I'm on the fence. I'm not sure which way, whether I want to go back and dip my toe in that pool again. What do you feel about that?
I don't know, man. I don't know if online dating's for you. You know what we got to talk about, and then we got to get into the Patriots. But me and Frank unintentionally ditched a tab before the Super Bowl in Dallas at Diaz at this honky tonk country bar, which we wanted to go see in Dallas. This is a night or two before the Steelers. Packers Super Bowl, and we just leave. We just there's some guy annoying us, and we just decide to leave. And we're halfway back to the hotel, and I'm like, Frank, did you pay the tab? He goes, no, did you? And we didn't mean to ditch the tab, Pat. That's not our style.
Are you and Frankie the guys that were the inspiration for the movie where the two guys, Bill and Ted, where they traveled through time in a phone booth? I mean, have you guys traveled in George Carlin's phone booth before? Because this is starting to sound oddly familiar.
Well, listen, so just so you know, we're not jerks. We called, Frank called Adidas, and Frank had befriended the bartender, lovely Sherry, was her name?
Beautiful Sherry.
So anyway.
Clearly you haven't forgotten her.
No.
He made a love connection out of ditching the tab.
There you go.
That's a great move.
To this day, we still talk. I love that group. All right, hey, listen, guys, I'll leave you to it. Hey, great show. Thanks thanks so much for having me on, and keep up the good work.
All right, Frank, have a good one.
Take it easy.
So he's a piece of work, Pat.
I'll tell you what, I can't. That's reason enough for me to come up to Boston right there.
So listen, the other reason to come up to Boston is to, watch the Patriots, man, and how they performed. I think there's a lot of excitement after that week one performance, the way they pretty much dominated the Titans. And the key was, we knew the offense was going to be good. And we're going to run down all of New England's statistical parameters after the next break. But we knew the offense was going to be good, and in some cases better than anyone anticipated. But the way the defense played, that's what people are talking about here. And, you know, we talked about it with Frankie there for a while, is if they can peer that elite offense, and it's going to be an elite offense, with an above-average defense, or, you know, even an elite defense, the sky's the limit. I think Frank's a little too enthusiastic, a little too rosy-eyed, thinking they're going to go 15-1. But this, I mean, I'm looking at this now as a team that definitely has much more Super Bowl potential than I thought going into the season. But also, like I said, looking at their schedule coming up, there's going to be, it's not the cakewalk people thought, and we're going to know a lot more when they play Houston and San Francisco late in the season. It's going to be real interesting.
Yeah, and their quality stats will probably improve after this weekend too, with the Cardinals on the dock.
Well, you know what, we're going to go to a break now. We're going to size up both teams. We're going to break them down. The Cardinals are a little better in certain areas than people give them credit for, but we'll break down Patriots, Cardinals when we come back on the other side of the aisle with the Kerry Byrne, Pat Emig, the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com.
The Cold Hard Football Facts, an M1A1 Abrams Tank of Truth.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo sacks at Gerard Mayo speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello, football fans. Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com. Kerry Byrne here with my sidekick, Pat Immig. Pat, how we doing?
Good. You know, every time I hear Vanilla Ice, I'm reminded of his fantastic cameo appearance in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. And I think that's one of the great moments. It's one of the great moments in both music and cinema history when he started rapping about Ninja Turtles.
He was on one of the pregame shows Sunday. I forget which station. Was
really?
It NFL Network or ESPN? They were talking about sudden fame, and I forget which player they were talking about. Oh, I think it was RG3. I can't remember, but they were interviewing like Mary Lou Retton and Vanilla Rice and all these people, and Captain Sullenberger. Remember the guy who landed the plane in the Hudson River? All these people who had sudden fame thrust upon them were interviewed in the segment. It was kind of interesting, and you know, Vanilla Rice has made a career out of being a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, he's still apparently making that career too, because I had no idea that he was capable of being associated with a guy who can land a plane in a river.
Yeah, they seem to have different skill sets, don't they?
Yeah. So, yeah, but his real life name is Robert Van Winkle too, which I've always found to be funny, because it's, you know, the stereotypical, as Dave Chappelle would say, the Caucasian name for the Caucasian.
Well, it's one of those old Dutch names along the Hudson River, like Rip Van Winkle and all those Washington Irving stories. Not to bother people with, you know, 19th century American literature, but
well, I think that there's a place and a time for that, Kerry, and I think we should do it right now.
Listen, you know what you notice? Every song, every bumper, all the bumper music has a cold theme, an ice theme, you know? So that's that's the thinking there. So, all right, let's get down and dirty, Pat.
Does that mean we're going to get the Iceland national anthem at some point?
We might. I've been to Iceland, by the way, an interesting place. But we'll talk about that on another show. So let's get down and dirty. Let's bathe in some cold, hard football facts here, some stats, some data. And break down the Patriots and how they performed in Week 1 through the pigskin prism of our Cold Hard Football Facts. And as you know, Pat, what we do at Cold Hard Football Facts and at CHF Insider, where we do all our kind of real deep game analysis, is we size up every team in every game. So it's not just Patriots and Cardinals. It's every team in every game, every week, in all our indicators. We have 20 different indicators, quality stats, that we look at, and we do our analysis and make our picks based upon the relative merits of each team in these quality stats, and we put a lot of faith in these because, as I said earlier, these are the stats that win and lose football games. These are the stats you need to be looking at. We don't look at the things that don't matter. So you know, let me run through them real quick. What was the number one concern, if you know, Pat, that New England fans had, or one of the top concerns New England fans had before the season started?
Well, it's defensive, and more specifically, it's the pass defense that's kind of plagued them for the past, really since they've won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and we've been hopping on that. But I should have said offensively on the offensive side of the ball was the offensive line. We talked about the attrition last week, and you know the people were not there. Dan Cope and Matt Light on. We've been over that, and I said here, and you and I talked about this here, that offensive line is not something to worry about. That this team is going to be a great offense. And what happened in Week 1? The Patriots emerge, their top indicator after Week 1, emerge number one on our offensive hog index after Week 1, the best offensive line in football after Week 1.
Yeah, Stephen Ridley definitely calmed some nerves, and he was pretty dynamic. I managed to catch that game, and he looked a lot faster than I remembered seeing him.
Yeah, no, he looked great. He looked great. And here's how we do it. And what we do, it's not just running the football. We size up every offensive line in a number of different components of what we think is measures of the offensive line. One is rushing the football. How well do you rush the football? So the Ridley performance was indicative, you know, they were blocking well for him. Perhaps more importantly in the NFL, and it is more important in terms of Super Bowl success, is how well you protect the passer. Critical. If your quarterback's getting knocked down, you don't win games. Conversely, you're knocking down the other quarterback, and we talked about it with our pressure in the passer last week and the importance of that. If you protect your quarterback, you've got to win a lot against the Patriots right now. After Week 1, number two at protecting the passer. They suffered a negative pass play on 3% of dropbacks. That's a sack or INT. And then we look at how do you convert third downs. And the Patriots, you know, converted half their third downs in Week 1. So you kind of put those together, and you emerge as the number one offensive line in football. By the way, right ahead of Atlanta, who put on quite an offensive clinic, too. So, that's going to be interesting to see how those two offensive lines perform over the year and if they're going to be good enough to power their respective teams to Super Bowls.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm kind of interested in as far as the breakdown of the Cardinals and Patriots, you mentioned before break, you kind of hinted at it, the fact that, you know, the Cardinals aren't actually – they're not the doormat or as bad in all categories that some people might perceive them to be. And based off of Week 1, you know, both the Cardinals and Patriots faced a team that was more or less quarterbacked by a rookie. In the case of the Cardinals, it was Russell Wilson, Jay Clocker, of course.
In his second year, but not
season anyway with the starting job. And the Cardinals actually fared better from the defensive standpoint in passing yards per attempt and also with defensive passer rating as well.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona did not. The one thing that allowed them to be 8-8 last year with the kind of their chaotic quarterback situation, Kevin Kolb doesn't look like he deserves the money they paid him, although he did play well in the end against the Seahawks on Sunday. John Skelton has not put up great numbers, even though he's a great comeback. You know, kind of shown to be a great comeback king. He's won a lot of dramatic games. But that pass defense last year was among the best in the NFL at the stats we look at. Defensive passer rating, defensive passing yards per attempt, defensive quarterback rating. And right now, they're number two in the NFL in defensive passing yards per attempt. They're number five in defensive quarterback rating. They're number five in defensive passer rating. They're number seven on our defensive hog index. Granted, again, playing a rookie and maybe not an elite offense, but that defense is not a joke. That is a decent defense. Are they good enough to stymie the Patriots? Probably not, but I don't think this is a team you're going to go out and, you know, hang 45, 50 points on them.
Right, and that's what happened the last time that they traveled to Foxborough. And the quarterback situation was a little bit more crystal clear with Kurt Warner.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, the Patriots being a great road team. The problem with Arizona, even if their defense plays well, 3-13 on the road since they lost Kurt Warner. That's not good since 2010. And two of the wins were at St. Louis.
Well, that doesn't even count.
Exactly. So they're essentially.
I mean, you're, the first minute of this segment, you're talking about, you know, just hammering home the fact of the importance of protecting the passer, and I'm just thinking to myself, good Lord, going back the last 5 years, watching Mark Bulger just get beat up,
yep.
And now Sam Bradford. Bradford played well on Sunday against Detroit, but he still took way too many hits and licks.
Yeah,
they lost two of their offensive linemen again. I mean, they've had some bad luck with injuries too. It's not all on skill set or. You know, the deployment of personnel, but that's something that they've struggled at,
and that's why, you know, and look at, we talked the Patriots right now, number one offensive line in football after week one, number two protecting the passer, and so you got to have confidence they're going to be able to put up a lot of points. Even if they had a mediocre quarterback, that quarterback's going to be better playing behind New England's offensive line. Conversely, it's a yin and yang of football. When is the quarterback helping the offensive line, and when is the offensive line helping the quarterback, which is one reason, Pat, that we don't look at individual indicators, you know, what guy is rushing for a lot of yards. We look at team indicators because people try to parse football stats way too much. You know, when is it the quarterback's, you know, when is he to credit? When is he to blame? When is it, you know, the left tackle to credit or to blame? The scoreboard doesn't care. The scoreboard only cares that you're good at something, you're bad at something, and that leads to points or doesn't lead to points. So all our quality stats are team indicators. That's what we look at. We look at how teams perform together, and obviously great individuals, you know, help to that end. But we don't worry about the minutiae of who's to credit and who's to blame because, like I said, at the end of the day, the scoreboard doesn't care. It really doesn't. The other thing that was really encouraging, and you talked about the defense, the Patriots right now, the number two rush defense in football, they allowed only 1.2 yards per attempt against Chris Johnson and the Titans, which is probably defensively one of the most encouraging things. I believe, and we ran all the numbers at Cold Hard, and we ran them, and we published it on Sports Illustrated, too, in my column there. I think the third best defensive effort in Patriots history based on the average gain on the ground by the opposing team. When you're holding a team to under 1.3 yards per attempt, you're playing lights out defense. Chris Johnson, 4 yards on 11 carries, perhaps the worst game of his career, and one of the worst rushing games in the entire history of the Tennessee Titans, Houston Oilers franchise, going back to their days in the AFL. It was the fourth worst rushing day in the history of that franchise. So that was a total lights out dominant effort by the Patriots defensive front.
Now, not to take away anything from the new defense, but is this more of an indictment of the Chris Johnson and kind of how his career has derailed for over the last 18 months or so?
Well, you know what, we put a lot of stock in overusing running backs, and in 2009 he had over 2,500 yards from scrimmage, the most in NFL history. Okay, and he carried the ball a lot, he touched the ball a lot, and he had a great average per attempt. He was explosive. He scored a bunch of long touchdowns. I think he maybe tied Jim Brown for the most touchdown runs of 50 yards or more in a season. And then he was never the same. If you look at any running back throughout history, the famous example is James Wilder with the Buccaneers in the 80s. Guys who are overused are never the same after that. And the magic number is 400 touches. If a guy touches the ball 400 times in a season, he's usually never the same player. Talking running back specifically, it's like being in five car wrecks every week.
One guy right off the top of my head immediately, I go back to 1998 and Jamal Anderson. He had, I think, 420 carries, and look what happened to him the next year. He had knee problems, and he was never the same after that.
You see it time and time again, and that's why another reason we don't look at individual indicators, because it's all about the team. And you need multiple guys to carry the load and do things. And I think that's something a team like the Patriots, for example, has excelled at, and you don't need that 1,000-yard guy to be a champion. You don't, even the Green Bay Packers of the 1960s, the team everybody talks about, the great running Packers, they had, I believe, in their champions, 1,000-yard rusher, Jim Taylor in 1962. They were a running back by committee team. You don't want to overuse your assets. Those guys get beat up and are never the same. And Chris Johnson's a classic example. So you're right, Pat. I think that's part of it, that, you know, credit to the Patriots defense for what they did, for historic, literally a historic performance by the New England run defense, one of the best run defense, you know, performances by the run defense in Patriots history, and to do it against a normally explosive ball carrier like that. But you have to wonder if the end of the line is there for Chris Johnson, even at a young age. I mean, running backs get chewed up fast.
Yeah, and he got that big contract, and you don't want to just correlate the two things kind of, you know, in a lazy fashion. It's kind of a generalization, but that is definitely a coincidence, if nothing else, that after he got his big deal, and then he lost Jeff Fisher as well, who was kind of his the guy who was in his corner motivating
yep.
that coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. And I honestly don't know how those guys get beat up like that. And I just can't imagine the pounding they're taking. You can see why it would really, you know, you'd hurt your career, I mean, to be overused like that. So, quick, let's jump to the defense, the New England defense, Pat. You know, they played well in their pass defense, and this is the critical component. It's all about stopping, playing well in pass defense. And the Patriots are good, better than last year, but that was not a lights-out defensive performance. Jake Locker was making throws while he was in the game. The Patriots are now good but not great. They're 11th in passing yards per attempt against them. They're 12th on the defensive hog index because, you know, even though they had a great performance against the run, they weren't doing everything you need to do well, at least for one game. I mean, again, we're just talking one game. But they, you know, they did not put a ton of pressure on Walker. They're 23rd right now in the NFL after 1 week pressure in the passer. So there's obviously room for improvement there. And they're 13th in defensive real quarterback rating and defensive passer rating, which often move together. And so a good performance, not a great performance. And when they're going to be playing guys like Peyton Manning and Matt Schaub and Alex Smith, who looked great in week one down the road, I'm still not completely sold that they've solved all the issues, but definitely a great step forward.
Yeah, and this weekend it'll be even with Kevin Cobb and with kind of the shaky quarterback situation in Arizona, they're still going to have their hands full with Larry Fitzgerald, who could very well become the quickest player to 700 catches. And if you think about that, he was drafted in 2004, and it seems like he's been in the league a lot longer, but in the span of, you know, less than 8 full seasons, he's getting close to 700 catches, which is just absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, and you look it back, and guys in the 70s, Lynn Swann, John Stilworth, I think Lynn Swann caught 350 passes in his career and went to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, real quick, since I've got, let me go back into history and quiz you. Do you think, is it true that Lynn Swann is more of a Hall of Famer, more because of just a couple of good catches he made in the Super Bowl? I mean, do you think he really is a legit Hall of Fame wide receiver?
You know, it comes down to...
They're different eras, I understand that. So
yeah, but even really... within his era, he was not putting up, you know, top receiving numbers year after year. I think when you look how that Pittsburgh team really evolved later in, you know, in the late 70s and what really became more of a big-game gunslinging team, and Terry Bradshaw, still the greatest big-game gunslinger in history, he averaged, I think, it was 11.4, 11.2 yards per attempt in his four Super Bowls, a ridiculous number.
Yeah,
in any four games against four bad teams, that's a ridiculous number. He was slinging the ball down the field time and time again in the biggest game of the year, four times in 6 years. And Lynn Swann was a big part of that. John Stallworth was a big part of that. I mean, I think he had three or four 70-yard touchdown passes in the Super Bowls. And so when you look at impact on a game and his ability to be a difference maker in the biggest game of the year and to do it in a sport that rewards championships, you know, there is a legit argument to be made for him, for Lynn Swann as a Hall of Famer, and obviously Hall of Fame voters thought so. But week in and week out, he was not a threat, even by the standards of his era, which teams didn't pass the ball as much.
He did begin to work on his grassroots political career, though, back in those days.
Yeah, that's right. Is he still a politician in Pennsylvania or something?
I don't know if he ever. I don't know what he's doing now. I know that was something he was working towards.
Yeah, I think he ran for governor or something. So, well, listen, Pat, we're gonna take a break here. On the other side, we're gonna talk a little tailgating with Brian Poe of Poe's Chip Chap Room, Kurt Schilling's private chef, and the connection is they work together in Arizona. We're gonna talk, and also a big SEC football fan, so we're gonna talk some tailgating, talk a little little more football with the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com, and we'll see you on the other side of the break.
The Cold Hard Football Facts, crushing wayward opinions since 1869.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Right now, we're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. You can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. With tickets to all the games, home and away, for all your favorite Boston teams, Ace Ticket has the best seats at the lowest prices, always. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com from any device. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Pats fans, here's your chance to experience the ultimate road trip. Enter the Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle for a chance to travel in style with the Patriots to an away game. The grand prize includes seats on the team plane, a room in the team hotel, a pair of tickets to the game, access to the field on game day, and much more. Proceeds from the raffle will benefit the Patriots Charitable Foundation. Buy your Patriots Ultimate Road Trip Raffle tickets today by logging on to www.patriots.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank of AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Find out what's cooking in Carrie's pickup and parking lots around the country.
Welcome back to the Cold Hard Football Facts. I'm Kerry Byrne with my sidekick, Pat Emig. We have time for...
From St. Louis, Kerry. I'm excited and hungry.
So hungry you want to take somebody out on the banks of the Mississippi River tonight.
Indeed.
So, listen, we got a great guest here. We'd like to talk a little tailgating on the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com. We are joined now by great chef, Brian Poe. Brian, how you doing?
Doing well, Kerry. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Well, if you guys don't know Brian, not only a great chef, he's the man behind Poe's Kitchen at the Rattlesnake in Boston's Back Bay, and also the brand-new Poe's Tip Tap Room on Beacon Hill, which is a great place all about steak, chips, and beer. So, yeah, I think you got a winning formula there, Brian.
I like it, you know?
So the reason, one of the several reasons Brian's on is he's in Arizona. Well, not originally. We'll talk about his origins. We're going to get into a little SEC football. But you lived and cooked in Arizona for a long time, didn't you?
Yeah, I was there for about 8 years.
What were you doing out there? Where'd you cook?
I was at a place called Steamers, and then the American Grill, and then my last 5 years there was at the Pinion Grill on McCormick Ranch and right in Scottsdale.
No kidding. Now, the story I know is that you've told me is that you were traded to Boston right before Curt Schilling, and that you cook for him a lot. Is that true?
That's true. He's a great friend, great family friend. Just good people. He got a better contract, but I still made it out of it, you know.
So, well, we're glad we have you in Boston because you do some cool stuff. What do you cook when you tailgate? What do you cook? Because to me, like the steak chips are so perfect on the grill, and obviously go great with beer. Is that what you cook during football games? Or what do you like to do? What's the story?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the steak chips. What we're doing with ours is we're taking steak chips to a whole new level. I'm taking some of the fine dining background from Scottsdale and to the Bostonian and incorporating that into the fun bar atmosphere. I mean, I'm a guy. I like beer and I like steak, so it's just kind of, that's pretty much the road I go down when I tailgate. But, there's a lot of variety that we've ended up doing with our different steak tips, from different chicken and lamb, and we're going to start doing some sausage stuff. We're doing the wild game stuff, so it's kind of...
So you do wild game steak tips, so it's not just beef. It's not like you're making beef chips with barbecue sauce. You're kind of doing some real creative things then.
Yeah, today I'm running kangaroo, ostrich, and yak. So, we're doing those type things. It goes great with football.
Now, where do you get kangaroo, ostrich, and yak?
The kangaroo is coming out of Australia. The ostrich is coming. That's coming through a company called Fossil Farms, which is a good group of guys. Then I also buy stuff from South Texas. So I'm buying it kind of around the country.
Okay, but what if I want to cook? What if I want to cook kangaroo chips? Where can I go to the store and buy them, or how does that work? Can I do it online or?
Actually, yeah. If you go to fossilfarms.com, you can order small portions for yourself. So you wouldn't have to buy you don't have to buy the 30 and 40 pounds that I'm buying. You can buy a 10 pound pack or a couple pounds and have it shipped to you and cook it up over the weekend.
Okay. Now one thing I have to get to, because you're an SEC guy and I love SEC football. Pat went to Mizzou, which is now an SEC school.
That's right.
The Patriots this week started three SEC linebackers, Gerard Mayo out of Tennessee, Brandon Spikes out of Florida, Dante Hightower out of Alabama. So it's an all-SEC linebacking core. Bill Belichick seems to love those SEC kids, and for good reason. There's a lot of talent there. But you went to Auburn. Is that true? You're an Auburn guy?
That is correct. I did a lot of – that's actually where I started my cooking career at the Hotel and Conference Center right downtown there. So I cooked across from Toomer's Corner.
Oh, which is the famous where all the fans at Auburn hang out after the game, right?
Exactly. So, I did a lot of cooking down there. And, SEC football has been in my life since I was born.
Now what's – because I know the Auburn-Alabama thing is crazy. What's Thanksgiving dinner like around the Iron Bowl when crotchety old Uncle Bill went to Alabama and you're decked out in Auburn gear?
That's why I cook Thanksgiving in restaurants. My entire mother's side of the family went to the University of Alabama. My father's side went to the University of Auburn. It was intense. They kind of become arch enemies for about – it doesn't just end there. I mean, it goes on. I even had a guy drive by me late night at the Tip Tap here. He lives on Beacon Hill, and he drives by and says Roll Tide to me, and it's still got my blood boiling. This is just a week ago. Come on, man. And so I'm actually going to get a sign for his parking where he parks it. It says, War Eagle parking only. It goes nationwide.
All right, well, don't go to St. Louis with a bag of Cheetos. I understand it could get ugly. So if you're ever going to a Mizzou game when Auburn plays Mizzou. So anyway, well, listen, Brian, appreciate having you on. Thanks for your time and good luck. And look forward to trying some more of your food and tailgating with you this season.
Thanks so much, and go Patriots.
Talk to you soon, Brian. Thanks.
Take care. See you.
So he's an interesting guy, Pat. He does a lot of stuff. A little bit of a bad connection there. But
have you ever had ostrich before?
I've had everything. Everything.
What does ostrich taste like? Don't say chicken.
it tastes like a big chicken. You know what? Most people always say stuff like that tastes gamey. Like people always say venison tastes gamey. Venison tastes gamey if you cook it wrong. Venison is like the freshest, tastiest meat you've ever had. I do all kinds of venison stuff because it's such a tender meat, and it's great to grill. We do stews with it, chilies, all kinds of stuff. And if venison's only gamey, stuff like that's only gamey if you cook it wrong. And the key for a lot of that is to not overcook it. People have a tendency when they don't know something to overcook it. And I think that's why a lot of people try stuff and they don't really care for it too much. So, but I think this year I'll probably have a little venison and stick to probably some stews and some seafood. Being in New England, I like to cook lobsters on the grill, and there's so much you can do. And there's nothing better than like a lobster grilled right over the grill. It's much better than boiling it. Boiling it's a waste of time if you ask me.
Yeah, I enjoy lobster. I feel like when I'm eating it, and maybe it's because I'm eating totally fresh lobster or lobster that's not prepared correctly, but I always feel like I'm just eating some type of fish meat that has butter on it. It never like really strikes me as this unique flavor.
Yeah, you know what? I like the idea of lobster more than I like lobster.
Okay, well, I'm not alone then.
The town I live in still has a lobster community on Boston Harbor. There's this place called Howe's Neck, and you know, I know a lot of lobstermen and stuff, but I like the idea of being out in the backyard or even at a football game. We've done seafood boils at games, and it's kind of festive, and putting the animals, you know, putting the lobster in the water or grilling it or whatever you do. It's a lot of fun, but like I said, I like the idea of it. I like the pageantry of it more than I actually like the flavor. And like I said, the best way to do it is to grill it. It gives the meat flavor, and everything tastes better on like a charcoal or hardwood grill, so.
Let me ask you something. This is completely unrelated, but it's related to football. Have you ever been smothered by an American flag?
No, but I think Brandon Whedon could be our resident expert on that.
Yeah, we'll have to bring him on one time and find out what that's
what
like.
A bad day he has. And you know what? We'll launch into our stat attack at the end of the show. He has so many games we can bang out. So we can start with Cleveland right now. He has a 5 passer rating after playing Philadelphia in week one. Granted, Philadelphia had one of the best pass defenses in football last year, one of the best pass rushing defenses. They made his life a living, you know what. And it didn't start well with the whole American flag fiasco. And when you go to post a 5 passer rating, that's bad. You know how bad that is? It's like getting a 0 on your SATs when you get 200 to sign your name, because if you throw every
right.
pass into the ground, if you throw every single pass, you throw 50 passes into the ground, you get a 39.6 passer rating.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I started on Sunday and I purposely threw the ball out of bounds on every pass attempt, I probably would have been better.
You would have a 35-point higher passer rating than Brandon Whedon does after week one.
That poor guy.
Hey, by the way, let's talk about that real quick. We all know how tough it is to start as a rookie quarterback in the NFL. You know, RG3 was really the explosive exception. The numbers he put up were phenomenal. That was just an unbelievable performance. But every other quarterback, all the other 4 rookie quarterbacks who started in week one, are all like 28th to 32nd in all our passing efficiency indicators. Passer rating, passing yards per attempt, real quarterback rating, all the numbers we use at Cold Hard. They are like the bottom of the barrel, all 4 of them, and then there's RG3 at the top of almost every indicator. It's unbelievable what an anomaly his performance was.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how with one start he has whether it's accurate or not, he has validated for long term. He's validated his hype and validated every commercial he's been on. The guy just has a serious presence about him, and he's got a serious confidence, too.
I mean, I'll tell you why. And
the Redskins do this every year, it seems like, where they get out, you know, a 2 or 3 win out of, you know, their first 3 or 4 games.
That's true. They had a big game. Who'd they dominate in week one last year? I just forgot. They dominated the Giants in week one, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they went 2-0. They won their first 2 games, and then they finished 5-11, and one of their remaining wins was against the Rams. So,
which we agree is not a win. Beating the Rams,
right,
is not
right.
a win. So
I'm gonna be beaten in my own city tonight.
All right, let's run through our stat attack. Let's run through a couple other games real quick.
Yeah, okay. Let's start with tomorrow night's masterpiece between the Bears and the Green Bay Packers.
Real interesting. I think this game shapes up as obviously a great, you know, black and blue division showdown. But what's interesting is the Packers, since the Brett Favre era, are 29-11 in the last four meetings against the Packers, last 40 meetings against the Packers. The Packers, the Bears still have the all-time lead. It's the, I think, you know, part of the allure of the game is that it's the oldest rivalry in pro football, the most played game. They played, what, 109, whatever it is, you know, times off the top of my head, 188 times, whatever it is. But in the last 20 years, the Packers are 29-11 in their last 40 meetings.
That's it's teetering towards Green Bay, I should say.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think it's, I'm worried. We talked earlier about the issues that the Packers have defensively, their inability to take a punch, that 3-19 record in fourth quarter comeback opportunities under Aaron Rodgers, the fact that they usually lose, I think the exact number that Captain Comeback had is they're 6-18. When tied or trailing at halftime, they don't come back. And if this game's close, the Bears can definitely pull one out.
How about New Orleans and Carolina?
Wow. You know, the funny thing about New Orleans is that they had just been on that incredible win streak at home. And the way RG3 just totally outplayed Drew Brees. Drew Brees was not just a regular quarterback. Last year he set the all-time record for passing yards and completion percentage. And I'm concerned that we saw the Sean Payton impact. People were saying, oh, the Saints will be fine. They're going to be great. I said, no way are they a Super Bowl contender. Because how can you lose your head coach the entire year and still contend? And I think we saw the impact of not having your leader on the sideline. That organization changed. The day that Sean Payton, of course, with Drew Brees, walked into the locker room, and when he's not on the sideline, that was not the same team. That was not the team we saw dominate thoroughly at home all of last year. So, obviously, Carolina, just a totally disappointing performance. But, the Saints have a lot of issues, too, and I think if Carolina's going to rebound, this is the game to do it.
How about the Chiefs and the Bills, the kind of a less heralded matchup in the
yeah
NFC.
How about not the Chiefs and the Bills? You know, it's one of the numbers we put a lot of stock in is passer rating differential. This is your offensive passer rating minus your defensive passer rating, a key indicator of success throughout all of NFL history. In fact, almost 40% of all NFL champions were number one in passer rating differential. That's how important that number is, how important it is to win the passing game. The Bills right now minus 57. The Chiefs minus 64, two of the worst teams in football. I don't see how either team recovers long-term from how badly they were beaten in week one.
Let's go to a little bit more competitive game. The surprising Bucks visiting the winless Giants.
Well, I'll tell you what, the greatest statistical turnaround from week one, from 2011 in through week one was the play of the Tampa Bay defense. They just, the way they shut down that offensive line, that offense of Carolina was unbelievable. The Buccaneers dead last season in our defensive hog index, number one in the defensive hog index right now through week one. They just did everything right. They allowed the Panthers, who, by the way, the Panthers last year, the number seven rushing attack in the history of football in terms of average per attempt. We talked about that last week. 0.8 yards per attempt. In week one against that Tampa Bay defense, Greg Schiano has brought it, changed the attitude. Be an interesting game to see if they can make a statement against the defending champs.
How about Baltimore and Philly? This will be a slugfest for Michael Vick. I'd be surprised if he made it through the whole game.
Well, how fragile he is, you know, obviously been a long-term issue. He's only played one full season in his career, so I look for Baltimore. The Eagles are actually favored in that game, which is a little surprising. I look for Baltimore to take that one, and you know, I think it'll be an interesting game. I think Baltimore just looked so good, so stunning. I'd be surprised if the Eagles can pull out a victory even at home. And one more, Pat, and then we got time for one more, actually.
Okay. How about Sunday night's showdown between the handshake revisited, Jim Schwartz, Jim Harbaugh, Detroit at San Francisco?
Well, this is our game of the week at Cold Hard Football Facts, and what we call it is the talented but volatile Lions against the supremely disciplined, well-coached 49ers. The 49ers were a better team. They exposed the Lions last year. The Lions were 5-0, went 5-7 from the time they met the 49ers through the rest of the year. They were not a good team after meeting San Francisco. So I look for San Francisco to kind of continue that streak in Handshake Bowl 2, we're calling it.
Yeah, and I think if San Francisco plays like they did Sunday in Green Bay, I think that they could win that game by 10 points or more than that.
Well, we
I think that they just completely manhandled Green Bay. It was almost scary to see how good those guys can be.
I agree, and they were my favorite to win the NFC, so I wasn't surprised. I was glad to see them win that big, and I think they
are.
You're
so smart and educated. Please teach me, wise master.
All right, Pat. Well, listen, another great show, folks. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining the Cold Hard Football Facts on Patriots.com. Don't forget, you can check out a whole bunch of great shows on Patriots.com, including Football Nation with Todd DeVries and Bill Enright, Thursdays 4 to 6. Fantasy Football Champs, Tuesdays 4 to 6. And, of course, the Cold Hard Football Facts back here on Patriots.com each Wednesday, 4 to 6. Appreciate your time and talk to you next Wednesday.
Cold Hard Football Facts, a member of the FootballNation.com family.